For the past 100, actually over 100 years, the Wisconsin Veterans Museum has shared the stories of our state's military veterans, and we'll talk about some of their current projects, including travel exhibits, upcoming events, with our guest today, Larry Mueller, here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Jennifer Van Haften is the acting director of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, and she's joining us by phone today. Have you been to the museum recently? It is a fabulous place to visit. I've enjoyed so many trips there. But what about you? What did you enjoy about your trips to the museum? Or do you have questions about the museum? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Jennifer Haften, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, we wanted to have you on Veterans Day, but I am pretty sure you were a busy person at the Vets Museum yesterday.
Yeah, we definitely were. We participated in the Madison Veterans Council program over at the State Capitol at 10, and then we had our own programming between 1 and 4 p.m., some guided tours, and some veterans themselves talking about their experiences within our galleries. Anybody who made it, I hope they enjoyed themselves over here. And then in the evening, we did a partnership with a group that has a performance called The Greatest War, and they did that in Memorial Union. We had a table out there, too, to talk a little bit about the Veterans Museum over there. So, yeah, full packed day.
I'm sure it was. It sounds wonderful. How did the Veterans Museum get started?
Well, in probably around sometime in 1901, Civil War Union veterans in the state of Wisconsin were very interested in displaying items from their exploits during the Civil War, especially the battle flags. And there are a number of states that had battle flags on display in their various state capitals. And so the Civil War Union veterans wanted something the same kind of thing in our state capitol. And so they got some space in the capitol, set up their battle flags, set up some other mementos from their service during the Civil War. And that's essentially how it got started in 1901. And they had such a great lobbying group that they got the state to codify it into state law, that there would always be what they called a GAR, the Grand Army of the Republic Memorial Hall. And eventually, through various stages in the history of the state, it's become the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. And we were in the state capitol until just before the 1990s, and the state capitol needed space, the Veterans Museum needed space, and so they developed over here on the corner where I'm at right now, a new museum, and that opened in 1993.
Yeah, it's a really cool museum for sure. And as you say, it's just right across from the Capitol building in Madison, so it's a great spot.
Yes, yeah, we really do enjoy being here, and we've got our other historical partners across the way. The Wisconsin Historical Museum is over there on the corner, so it's kind of a nice little triangle, especially for school groups. We have a lot of them that come into downtown Madison, and they visit the state capitol, they visit us, and they visit the Historical Society's museum.
Well, it's a great, it's a great opportunity for anyone, not only school students, but I've kind of done the same thing myself, and, you know, you just take some extra time and done the Capitol tour and then visited both museums in the same day, and it's a heck of a nice day for me anyway, and I bet for most people who do that.
Yeah, we do like to share those kinds of options with our visitors when they come through.
We have a lot of things to see. What can visitors expect to see?
Well, definitely we have what we consider our permanent exhibit, although, you know, most museums hopefully want to turn over their exhibits as often as they can so there's something new to look at. But our permanent exhibit talks about the history of Wisconsin service members. We start with the Civil War, and we go through Spanish-American War, the conflicts in the Philippines. There were Wisconsinites in the 19-teens on the border between between the United States and Mexico just before World War II broke out, World War One.
Yeah.
Then World War One service, and we cover World War II. We cover Korea, Vietnam. Short little section on Cold War, and then we're really running out of space too to cover anything that has to do with the Persian Gulf War, and then all the conflict that's been going on that Wisconsin service members have been in after 9/11. So all of that we try to cover as much as we can, and we do have another space that we retain for what we consider our temporary exhibits. We usually have those up for about a year to 18 months. And our current temporary exhibit in that spare space is called In My Spare Moments, The Art of Harold F. Schmidt. And it shows the art that Harold F. Schmidt, who came out of Milwaukee, he was drafted into the Army to do map making. But while he was in the South Pacific, he also used his spare moments to create artwork because that was his background. And so we received his scrapbook with his artwork. We received his oral history about his scrapbook. And we have a number of his letters as well, and that's what our exhibit is about.
It's really a cool exhibit. And lots of people go to the museum to actually do research. And you have documents that would help a lot of people, I would think.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, one of the things that we believe in at the Veterans Museum is that every veteran is a story. And so we have very carefully and very thoughtfully try to get as many different types of experiences into our collections. And part of our collections are what we consider our archives, which for the layperson, that's papers, letters, diaries, scrapbooks, and photographs. And so that's what goes into the archives. And then we also have what you would consider an object collection. So that's the 3D things that people would have used during their service that we keep with us. And then, like, the third part of our collections is the oral history. So that programming began, as early as the late 1960s and 1970s, when they started collecting Spanish-American veterans' experiences, World War One veterans' experiences, and recorded them on tape, which we've now managed to digitize all of those. So now everything's stored digitally, and we do now record digitally, and we're always adding to that particular collection too. So it's, especially the oral histories is kind of the linchpin of getting the veterans' words, and then also the archives, their words and their letters to families and then their journals and diaries, and then the objects enhance that kind of stuff. So we always want the story around, what this person collected that has to do with their service. And those are always available to the public to do research. Our research center is open by appointment because we have a new collection space, and people may have heard of the State Archives Preservation Facility, which we share with the Historical Society and the State Capitol, where we all keep a lot of our historical objects in. So that's kind of a state-of-the-art building that takes care of our collections for us. And we have to move those from that location back over to the museum. So we do it by appointment only, but it's very easy to get an appointment.
Okay, I was going to ask, how do you get an appointment, or what do you have to do to get the access to the records?
Yeah, so the easiest thing is to go to our website at withvetsmuseum.com and go to our research tab and just click directly on that, and then all the contact information is right there. You can do it by email, by phone, and you'll get a hold of somebody very easily.
I wonder sometimes if people are, maybe they're looking at their family tree or trying to figure out their ancestry, probably could be, if you're thinking about, all right, which great-great-great grandfather or whatever was in the Civil War, it'd be nice to see if there's any information on him there. Would that be something that happens
Oh, yes, definitely. And in fact, we do have different research databases on our website as well. So again, if you go to our webpage, wisvetsmuseum.com, and you hover over our research tab, you'll see Civil War roster, Spanish-American War roster, and World War One roster. And a lot of times what people will do is they'll start with those rosters and those databases, type in the name that they're looking for, and then there'll be a link that they can click on that says request more info. And then you can get some emails and start emailing back and forth with our archivist. That works there. You can make your appointment then if you want to get more information or do research with our non-circulating library that we have here. So it's a really nice way to get started and have a look at some things and just start that journey down, your genealogy, and you want to know more about the story of your ancestors. It's a really great way to do that.
Yeah. Talking today with Jennifer Van Haften, who is the acting director at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. You are also, obviously this is an educational place, although it's kind of fun and interesting to be able to just go there and see what's there. But you have a lot of educational programs that you offer as well. And we're kind of bumping up on time, but maybe mention one or two.
Okay, sure. A couple of things that we've been doing lately is a trivia night at the museum, as well as a what we call our mess night at the museum, and those are like two different things. Trivia night, we want to test your Wisconsin military history a little bit with that, although we try to keep it as simple as possible because we know not everybody is an expert. Our mess night includes a dinner and usually some kind of speaker on a topic that has to do with Wisconsin history. And both of those are coming up. Trivia night actually is this week on the 14th, starting at 5:30 p.m., and mess night is next week, November 21st, and that one also starts at 5:30 p.m.
And Jennifer Van Haften will be with us right up until 12:30. We'll take a look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back with our guest. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Perfect music for our show today as we talk about the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. There's lots to see at the museum, and we're talking about some of what you can see today with our guest, Jennifer Van Haften. She is the acting director of the museum and joining us by phone today. So, have you visited the Veterans Museum? Why do you enjoy visiting it? Do you have a favorite part? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or email your questions or comments to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And you know what? Let's take a call. Wayne in Green Bay is up now. Wayne, thanks for calling.
Well, good morning. Pretty excited to hear about it. Tammy and I went to the museum about a year and a half ago on her birthday. We went down to Madison and did some touring and went to eat right off the square, and then we went over by the museum, and it was amazing. Some of the stuff was unfathomable. Like, for instance, the different tools they use for amputating legs and crutches that they, prosthetic legs that they use for when they're missing a leg. And it was kind of eerie when you walked into the Civil War area, you hit a button and then it plays music and or does a scene rather, and there's these full-size people stand or full-size soldiers pointing guns at you with in the corn, and honestly God, you look at them and you swear they are real people pointing guns at you. And it was, anyway, the whole museum was fantastic, but the Civil War era there was excellent for me, and they had a lot more than just that. It was fun.
Wayne, thank you so much for calling. Well, what have you got to say about that, Jennifer?
Oh, I'm really glad that they enjoyed their visit. So that's always something that we hope that people coming to our museum really enjoy that. An interesting tidbit about those figures that are coming out of that corn. I wasn't here for that, but way back in, you know, the early 1990s when they were working on those exhibits, apparently those are modeled after real people that were either working in or around the museum. There were some part-time people and some full-time staff, and then I think also just kind of volunteers and friends were brought in, and they did like kind of that plaster cast of people's faces. So I believe, as I understand it, almost every one of these figures that are in our museum is an actual real person's face from back in the early 1990s. So.
Well, that is pretty cool. Well, I'm looking at my engineer today, Tyler Ditter. He's got a kind of a nice beard and mustache, and I think he would have been a good model for it. He looks like he would dress him up properly, and he could be a model for that.
Yeah, so that's pretty fascinating, that particular part when I learned about that.
Well, I thanks for that call. If you can join in too, 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you about your experiences. Tim Isley emailed to ask if he could email you about some World War II items. And if so, what's the email or how does he get in touch?
Sure. Probably the easiest for most folks is we have a page you can go to directly on our webpage, and it is withvetsmuseum.com/collections. And on that page is a little description about how you can begin a donation to our collections, and there's a form to fill out. We always appreciate photographs of the items so that we can our staff that starts evaluating the items can look at that right away. That is probably the best way for anyone who is listening out there, with vetsmuseum.com/collections, and they have a form and they can attach a picture, and then we can start talking to them about that.
Do you get this kind of request often?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, there are always, people with, items from family members, or maybe they just have a question about that, where it may have been used or served or anything. Like I had mentioned earlier, one of the greatest things that we want to do is preserve the story about the service member that these items go with. And so as much as anybody can tell us about the stories that they know about, if it's their ancestor, or maybe somebody isn't their ancestor, but they gave it to them because it was special to them or something like that, we want to hear those stories that go with those things.
Let's take a call here. Peter in Appleton. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Jennifer, I had worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs at King, at the Veterans Home up there, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I was uncovering some property and stuff, but I had gone through an old warehouse, and in the back of the warehouse, under a bunch of rubbish, was a Civil War cannon taken apart along with its limber. Now, the limber was used as, behind the cannon when it was pulled by horses to store the shells. And I'm wondering if that unit was ever fixed up or reconditioned and put into the museum, either at King or down in Madison.
Peter, I've been here for 5 years, but I haven't gone like such a deep dive into that information. That would be something that I would have to double check with the staff that have been here longer about what happened to that. That sounds really familiar, but a lot of times those decisions were made by my prior director working around that. I feel like we probably brought that cannon back and put it into the appropriate storage place, the State Archives Preservation Facility that we have right now, so that at least it's protected from the element. But I can't be sure that that is the one. I feel like recently we did bring one in, but I would have to go double-check notes and staff people and that kind of thing. But, rest assured that any of those kinds of items, we do try to do a good assessment of that and then get it taken care of as best we can given the resources that we have.
Yeah, and if you shot an email or a request? Jennifer, you could probably have somebody look that up just to
see.
Yeah,
definitely, definitely. And you can, anybody can reach our museum directly. Our main email is, I think it's veterans. Let me just make sure I get this right, because I don't email us that very much. But it's veterans.museum@dva.wisconsin.gov.
Let's see, veterans.museum.
At. DVA.
EVA?
DVA is in Department of Veterans Affairs.
Oh, DVA, sorry. Yes. .com?
Dot Wisconsin.
Oh, dot Wisconsin.
Dot gov.
And the whole state of Wisconsin, Wisconsin.gov.
Spelled out, yes.
Veterans.museum@dvawisconsin.gov.
DVA.wisconsin.gov, I'm sorry.
DVA.wisconsin.gov. That's why I wanted to repeat it, because I wasn't sure I wrote it down myself properly.
Sure, and I could certainly send that on so you folks can post that on your website if you would like.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you so much. And Peter, thank you for calling. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. I want to go back because we were kind of quickly went over the trivia night and the mess night as a couple of events that are coming up, and maybe say another word or two. The trivia night is tough or not so. It's something that most of us could take part in.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, it would be, you know, probably general information that most folks should get from their U.S. history courses that they've taken throughout the years. And the other thing is that we have kind of a call the curator option. So I think every round we give folks to have we give them a number of cards that they can pass off to use to call a curator and help them with a question. So you're not left there entirely out in the cold. So there will be people that, yeah, you can use up a card for that. So
do you have that right at the museum, the trivia night?
We do, yeah, and we do it right in our galleries. And so we also try to get some questions that are related to what they see in our exhibit, so you can have a chance to kind of look around a little bit before we start the trivia questions. So it gives folks a chance after hours to come see the museum. I know a lot of people can't necessarily make our regular hours, and we're sort of doing this as a test to see if we will open later in the evenings, possibly on Thursdays, Fridays. It's something that we've been thinking about now over the last couple of years with these trivia nights that we've had.
And that's what's the date and time again for that?
That is actually this Thursday, November 14th. And we are opening the doors at 5:30 p.m. If you are interested in also having an adult beverage with it, it's going to be $10 per person, and that gets you two drinks with that. We also have snacks for your trivia night. We also have soft drinks if that's not your speed.
All right. So that's this Thursday night. And then the mess night is next week, isn't it?
Yes, correct. And that, again, also has a fee, obviously, because we serve a dinner with that. And so we do appreciate it if you can sign up ahead of time so that we can get our numbers to our caterers pretty well. But if you don't quite make it, you can certainly call ahead and find out if we can slip you in.
Now, are you going to serve hardtack, or is this going to be a regular meal?
Oh, this will definitely be a regular meal. We don't have it's not a Civil War-related topic. Otherwise, we have tried that before. But we had one particular mess night that we talked about rations for soldiers throughout the years is what we have done. So this particular evening, we are have a gentleman who is coming to Wisconsin. He will be talking about his experiences in Afghanistan. So we don't just do, you know, the distant past. We also do the more recent past and try to bring in people who have served and have actual stories about their service to tell.
That sounds great. And again, now that is that a week from Thursday?
A week from Thursday, November 21st. And again, if you go to our website at wisvestmuseum.com, you can go to our events page, and there will be a link there for signing up right away, too.
All right. So there you go. That sounds like a lot of fun as well, and really interesting. It'd be fun to hear the speaker for sure.
Yes.
there are always lots of events that are going on. How do you come up with the events?
You know, it's a whole team of us working on ideas together. And so a lot of times what we do is, you know, we see kind of what other folks are doing in museums around Madison to come up with some ideas. But a lot of times it's just internally our staff is looking at some things. And we're always looking at museum trends. The way people interact with museums has changed over time. I've been in the business for nearly 25 years. And so I've seen it go from kind of a more traditional passive interaction to now people want to talk with you on your website and on your Facebook page. They want to catch information from you on Instagram. And so we're trying to reach out to people in all those different ways. Another thing that we've been doing a lot of is we've created a traveling exhibit, and that started about the time I got here in 2015. It had been going on, you know, shortly before then. But now we have a traveling exhibit collection of different exhibits that we like to send out throughout the state, and we're able to offer that for free to any kind of organization that would like to put those up. We've had banks put them up in their lobby. We've had schools put them up in, you know, their libraries. We've had libraries themselves put them up. And so we've made it, like, really easy for it to get to them. There's sometimes a small shipping fee because we're not necessarily going to drive all the way up to Superior with the exhibit. But the shipping fee is pretty reasonable for people to be able to afford to get it to their places.
There's one exhibit that's called I Am Not Invisible. Is that right?
Yes. This is a brand new one. We just unveiled this particular exhibit last Thursday, November 7th. Governor Tony Evers, Secretary Mary Kolar, and the whole department and ourselves, we just unveiled it. And I Am Not Invisible started in Oregon, and it is promoted in part by the Center for Women Veterans of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. And when Wisconsin's Department of Veterans Affairs had heard about that, they wanted to do the same kind of thing. And so it features photographs of women veterans, and we have photographs of women who served as far back as World War II all the way to the present day. And the campaign itself, I Am Not Invisible, only usually does the photographs and a little tiny bit of information. And because we at the Veterans Museum were involved, we decided we wanted to get some short oral histories from each of these women that were going to be featured. And then we took those oral history quotes and we found what we felt was pretty relevant about the time period and what they were doing or their service. We found out a lot of women from Wisconsin were like the first women to do something in their branch that they happened to be in or in their particular rank and all those in their particular military jobs that they had. That was really exciting. So we added those quotes, and so now we have the exhibit. After it spent time in the rotunda until November 15th, it will be available to travel throughout the whole of Wisconsin. So we're looking forward to getting that out on the road. A lot of people are already reserving their time and would love, you know, many more people to get this exhibit out in their spaces, too.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool exhibit. Tom in Hayward has a question, I believe. Tom, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and guest. I just caught a part of your program as I was driving home, and I was wondering if I am an interviewer for the Veterans History Project, which is associated with the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. And I'm wondering if you could use the materials that I obtain in my interviews, which are on a DVD format, if you could use those in your museum.
That's a really good question, Tom. There are, I think, probably certain release papers that are with your items. And so depending on what the folks signed that they were allowing to be released, there may be some legalities that we've got to figure, we would have to figure out between that. We definitely work with the Veterans History Project. We're aware of what they've been doing and putting together. So probably, again, if you would like to, Tom, if you could email us and maybe we could have a little deeper conversation about the details of that. I know my staff, like I said, have been here longer than I have, so they may have some more background about that particular thing. We have an oral historian on staff, and we do set up many interviews throughout the state, and we've been involved with other projects and some cooperative efforts throughout the state as well. You know, one of the tricky things is you would think with digital, it would be very easy to store that stuff, but it really does take up space as well. And so we had to just recently expand our storage space, and we feel like we're rapidly filling that up too, which is, you know, not a bad problem to have, but we do have to figure out where else to put stuff. So,
yeah. So shoot an email over, Tom, and sounds like interesting materials for sure. Daniel, a retired Army chaplain, emailed that the new extensive Veterans Memorial at Lafarge, Wisconsin, lists a very limited number of residents who participated in the War of 1812. Obviously, Wisconsin wasn't a state at that time. Nevertheless, he's wondering if the veterans or when the Wisconsin State Veterans Museum will elect to memorialize the soldiers who served during the War of 1812.
That's a really good question, but I would like to say that we also, you know, have our counterparts over at the Wisconsin Historical Society. And in the early 1990s, both organizations worked together to figure out who would collect what. And so the War of 1812, that falls under the Wisconsin Historical Society's purview. The Wisconsin Veterans Museum starts their collecting at the Civil War and goes until the present day. So anything that happened prior to that is the Wisconsin Historical Society's purview. And I'm sure they would be happy to talk to anybody about commemorating, you know, any of the conflicts that might have happened that involved Wisconsin, eventual Wisconsin residents or residents of Wisconsin before the Civil War time period.
So how's the museum funded?
We are a part of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, so we are a state agency. And we also have the Wisconsin Veterans Museum Foundation, which supports our programming through their fundraising as well.
So what's the favorite part of the job for you?
I love all of it. If I could just say that. But I will say, you know, I'm a very big people person. And so whether it is connecting with people who are coming to the museum and learning something new and different, either about their ancestor or just about what Wisconsin service members did in general, and some of the amazing things that we have, or specific stories that there are so many amazing Wisconsinites that, you know, either put their life on the line or put their life on hold to contribute to, you know, their military service in some way, shape, or form. And I love those stories, you know, and it doesn't have to be combat stories. Sometimes it's just peacetime stories, and it just makes you very proud to know these people. And so I love the stories that we collect, and I love sharing those stories with people outside of the museum.
Jennifer, a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you, too.
Jennifer Van Haften is the acting director of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. We'll get her back and talk again sometime with her about the museum itself and what's going on with it. It was a lot of fun for me. I learned some things. I hope you did as well. Just to let you know, the first public hearings of the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump began this morning, and you can hear live coverage on WPR's NPR News and Classical Music Network. Ambassador William Taylor and I believe his Deputy Assistant Secretary George Kent testifying. The live coverage on Wednesday was on our NPR News and Classical Music Network. Well, just a reminder, if you miss part of our show or just want to hear it again, you can always go to our archives at WPR.org/Larry to hear recordings of our broadcasts. You can search by topic or date, and they go back a long time. I've been here a long time, and they go back a long time. So go ahead and do that. WPR.org/Larry to hear those programs. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.